بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبا القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الصادقين الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله أما بعد respected scholars, brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We continue in our discussion of the position of Luqman in Islamic history having in the first of our talks examined the fact that one of the characteristics of Luqman was that he tried to reconcile the differences between the people and even reconcile differences within his own family first before going out into the outer community. And we notice that indeed Surah 31 of the Quran is dedicated towards him. And in this dedication, the second of the characteristics which we'd like to examine is the fact that Luqman is given a whole chapter of the Quran after him, although he was not a prophet of God. Although there were some ulama of tafsir who have the opinion that he may have been, and the majority who come forward and say that he was not a prophet of God but was seen as one of the wise men of his nation. And indeed is seen in certain ahadith which go to the extent to say that he served 4,000 prophets of God. And therefore it goes to show you the lifespan when you serve 4,000 prophets of God, you're going to be quite old. And we will examine his lifespan in relation to other areas of the Quran. Likewise, what we find with Luqman is that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates the whole surah of the Quran towards him. If the microphone, just a little.
Salla ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. Thank you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates the whole surah of the Quran towards Luqman, although he was not a prophet of God. Certain ahadith tell us that he was offered prophethood. Others tell us that he was offered leadership, not prophethood. And that the idea was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to glorify him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw that this man was observing so much justice that he wanted to glorify him. You want to take prophethood? He replied that if my Lord wants me to be a prophet, I will be a prophet. But if he offers me the option, then I do not take it. Because the amount of justice I have to observe is something not easy to handle. So therefore you found that one of the gifts of Luqman was his humility. The fact that Luqman was willing to say that I need to observe justice as a prophet of God, and this is something a bit too high to be observed. And therefore you find that with all of these factors, although he is not a prophet of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gives him a chapter named after him. And when we examine the Quran, and we examine the world of a hadith, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on many occasions showing us that you do not have to be a prophet of God for me to inspire you. You do not have to be a prophet of God for me to communicate to you. You do not have to be a prophet of God for you to break the veils between yourself and your Lord, for you to reach higher levels of spirituality. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us throughout history that there were normal individuals, but sincere individuals, who were not prophets of God, yet reached the highest levels in their life. For example, Prophet Moses had asked God to show him his greatest servant. Normal question. Ya Allah, show me your greatest servant. When you hear greatest servant, the first thought that comes to you straight away, he must be a scholar. He must be an imam. He must be, for example, a person who reminds us of Ahlul Bayt. Yet the reality is that when he asked, show me your greatest servant, he said to him, Musa, in your town there is a butcher. What's his job? A butcher. And that this man is the greatest servant. Go and visit him. So when Nabi Musa went to visit him, the man did not know who he was. Nabi Musa entered, he saw this butcher, he saw his lifestyle, until one day he came to him. He said to him, "Do you mind if we have dinner together?" The butcher is looking at Nabi Musa thinking, "Who's this person?" But he said to him, "Okay, no problem, we'll have dinner together, you're more than welcome, come to our house." And so he invited him to the house for dinner. Nabi Musa said, "I was wondering what characteristic does he have that he has reached such a high level, that Allah terms him the greatest servant, and he's not even a prophet of God." So he says, "When I entered the house, I saw him taking this lady up and down, left and right, a very old lady. So having finished all his duties with this old lady, he came next to me. I said to him, 'Who's this old lady who you take up and down and left and right, you're carrying her and performing all the duties for her?' And the reply that came was that he said, 'That's my mother.' And he said, 'My mother has been ill for a while. I have my profession, but I make time to look after my mother. Because sometimes in our lives, we're so into the world of our work, we neglect obedience to our parents. Because you know, the world, it can sometimes deceive you. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, 'I've divorced you 3 times. Why? Because he doesn't want to return to it. In the same way, sometimes the world can deceive us. Our parents ask to see us for 5 minutes. I'm sorry, I'm busy. They ask to see you maybe for a week. Come round. We haven't seen you for a while. I'm busy.' Until it gets to a stage where if your father or mother passes away after a break or a gap, you feel guilty for the rest of your life. Because it's easy. When they're there, it's easy for you to neglect. The moment they're gone, you think about the times you missed with them. And the times they requested your company and you were too busy for them." So he says, "I make time for my mother. And my mother said to me," listen to his line, "that my mother said to me that because of your service towards me, one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have prayed, will let you meet Prophet Musa." So he said, "I'm waiting, it still hasn't happened, but inshallah the day will come when I meet Musa." So Prophet Musa looked at him and he said, "I am Prophet Musa. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told me you're his greatest servant because of your obedience towards your mother. Therefore on one level you have a great servant because of the obedience of the mother." Prophet Isa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Allah, who is your greatest servant? Who is most thankful for your ni'mah?" Because the reality is, a great servant is not knowledge. If knowledge is the only criteria for great servants, then I can name you people in Islamic history who were the most knowledgeable people and who ended up killing Aba Abdullah on the 10th of Muharram. And I tell you, they were in some cases people who could tell you ahadith and lines of poetry, salat al-layl they used to pray. It's not enough. What comes with knowledge is sincerity, pure hearts. There's many out there who are knowledge but arrogance with the knowledge. Because knowledge is one of those gifts where if you become arrogant with it, you start flying. Ali ibn Abi Talib used to say, "Look at the peacock. Look at the peacock." Says, if you want to see arrogant people, look at the peacock. It's the most insecure animal. He says, because all the arrogant people are insecure. Their arrogance is to hide something they're insecure about. And so he says, if you look at the peacock, what it does, it stretches out its colors. So whenever you look at a peacock, its colors, you look at it and you think, whoa, look at those beautiful feathers. He says, the reason it stretches out its feathers is to divert your attention away from its skinny legs. And they put him as number 4. I don't know how you talk to people like that. The reason is, skinny legs. Because it's got skinny legs, it wants to divert your attention. It wants you to look at the beauty of its feathers. It's never, you would never think, look at its skinny legs. You're just looking at colors. And you're thinking how beautiful it is. And it's showing you the colors, because it doesn't want you to look there. Because they're so skinny. And now you're going to see everyone next time they go to a zoo, they're going to look at the skinny legs. So here, Prophet Jesus, what did he do? He said, "Ya Allah, who's your greatest servant? Who's most thankful of your blessing?" The reply came that there is a lady who lives on your road. Go to the end of your road, there is a lady who lives there. She's the most thankful for my blessings. Nabi Isa said, "I straight away went, I want you to go and see who's this lady." So Prophet Jesus went, and as he was getting close to this lady, he noticed she didn't have any legs. And he was getting close to her, he noticed there's no hands.
And he got closer to her and he noticed she was blind. He begins to think to himself, no hands, no legs, I'm blind. What is she thankful for? As in, Allah has given us many things, but what is she thankful for? So he comes towards her and he says, sir, I'd like to ask you, what are you thankful for with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, considering you do not have the legs or you do not have hands and you're blind? She said, how can I not thank the Lord who did not give me the eyes that may view haram, or the hands that may touch haram, or the feet that may walk towards haram? What a great Lord this is. So you see how you can turn your whole life. That if you look at life half empty, then everything is depressing. But if you look at the cup of water half full, then everything is beautiful. Because for every problem that you face in your life, you're going to find Ahlul Bayt faced worse. And for everything that you face which you seem is difficult, you'll find that prophets of God have been through more. That's why you take them as examples. Because we sometimes face an inferiority complex. And this inferiority complex with us is that sometimes we don't believe we can reach very high levels. Sometimes you come to a person, you tell them, be religious. They say, me religious? I can't be religious. What type of attitude is that? I can't be religious. When you wanted to build a business empire, no one stopped you. When you wanted to go abroad to study, no one stopped you. But when someone comes to tell you, come and be religious, do I look like a type of person who can be religious? What do you mean, do I look like? You are a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted you with abundance of blessings. And you want to remain an animalistic being? Or do you really want to be called an insan? Because for a human being to be called insan means he is willing to work on himself, willing to struggle. That's why there is a hadith Qudsi which says, Abdi, my servant, Ana al-ghaniyu alladhi la yaftaqir. I am the rich that does not become poor. Ata'ni fima amartuka aj'aluka ghaniyun la taftaqir. Obey me in what I've ordered you. I will make you the rich that does not become poor. Abdi, ana alladhi yaqul li shay'in kun fayakun. My servant, I am the one. Now listen to this line, please. Those of you who doubt whether you can be religious or you can reach high levels. Abdi, ana alladhi yaqul li shay'in kun fayakun. Ata'ni fi ma amartuka aj'aluka taqul li shay'in kun fayakun. Obey me in what I've ordered you, I will make you say to something, kun fayakun. As in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising the human being, not promising prophets, not promising imams, I'm promising you. You obey me, and the things I've ordered you, I will let you say to something, be, and it will be. Now someone will say to me, so you're telling me, as an example of be and it will be, that if I wanted this table to be sent towards London and I command it and it will reach London, you're telling me I can do that? Yes. And then someone tells me, where's your proof? I say to him, go to Asif bin Barkhiyah in Surah An-Naml. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you that it can be proven. Those of you who have a Quran in your hand, go to Surah 27, Surah An-Naml. The only way you're going to be able to be kun fayakun is when you have a relationship with this book. If you don't, forget about it. It's impossible. When you go to Surah 27, Surah An-Naml, go to about verse 40 of Surah An-Naml, and you will find that Nabi Sulaiman has sent his message towards the Queen of Sheba. And that the Queen of Sheba has come towards Nabi Sulaiman's kingdom. And so in verse 38, Nabi Sulaiman wants to use something as a proof that when she comes, there is a proof to her that he is a prophet of God. So what happens is in verse 38, قَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. He speaks to his people, he says to them, which one of you can bring me her throne? Now you imagine. Imagine I'm a prophet of God, and I've got the president of Australia. It's coming towards me. I need to prove to him that I'm a prophet. He sits in a crown chair in Parliament in Australia. I want to prove to him I'm a prophet. The way I want to prove it is I want that chair next to me before he's even come to Dar es Salaam. And I want to see him see his chair next to me because he has a unique chair. No one else has it. Because when he sees it, surely he's going to believe that I'm a messenger of God. قال عفريت من الجن أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك. One of the jinn said, I'll bring you the Queen of Sheba's throne before you even stand up. So it showed us that the jinn even have the ability to break the veil. Flick your finger, Queen of Sheba's throne is there. But then, قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. One of the people of Sulaiman, Quran said he had some knowledge of the book. Not all the knowledge, some. A portion of knowledge. But it was enough. He said to Nabi Sulaiman, I'll bring you the Queen of Sheba's throne before you've even blinked your eye. There is a difference. In one, there is one who's saying before you've even stood up. The other says, forget standing up. You see how regularly you blink your eye? That it's here before you blink. It was already there straight away. Because if his promise is going to be true, it should be there straight away. Straight away, Queen of Sheba's throne was there. Ahlul Bayt tell us, he knew one of the names of Allah, or he had one portion of the 73 treasures of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was able to do this. Then imagine what Ali ibn Abi Talib could do when he has 72 out of the 73 portions of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 72? Out of 73, of course no one can have 73, that's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'mineen, 72 out of 73 of the secrets were known to them. Here, Asif bin Balkha, there's a question asked to the fifth Imam. What does fifth Imam say? They asked him, why did Sulaiman not do it himself? Why did he ask someone to do it? And he replied, because Sulaiman wanted to make clear who's the wasi after him. Because every prophet of God before he dies has to make clear who his successor is. Not like those people who tell us election and it. Which election? What comedy show do we have election? Go for an election, half the people aren't even there in the election. Some of them are still burying and then they tell me let's go and do election. So some people knew it's important to choose a leader, but the man himself who came with the message didn't know. And so you found that Prophet Sulaiman, even before he passes away, he makes clear that, look, this man, you didn't even blink, her throne came. The beautiful thing about it is that when the throne came, I love the Queen of Sheba's reply. Because if you want to know a queen, queens don't answer you. Queens, their answers are vague, very political answers. Royal families are not taught to answer you straight. They are taught to give you a vague answer. When she saw her throne, فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ قِيلَ أَهَاكَذَا عَرْشُكِ. When she came, he said to her, is that your throne? She said, قَالَتْ كَأَنَّهُ هُوَ. It looks like it. Have you ever at times when the truth hurts you, you don't admit something? Someone tells you it. You're wrong, and you're like, I might be wrong. You know you're wrong. But she said, I might be wrong. She said, كَأَنَّهُ هُوَ. It looks like it. What do you mean it looks like it? The only one throne on this earth which looks like that is your one. Because remember, half the earth was hers, and the other half was Sulaiman's. So I don't think there's going to be many people with thrones like yours. And therefore you found that here was a man, Asif bin Balkha, wasn't a prophet of God. He was a wasi. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed you that a wasi of a prophet of God, we mention him in the Quran, he has the power with just the flick of the finger to say to something, kun fayakun. Again in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, you don't have to be a prophet of God for me to communicate to you. You can be a normal person, but if you're pure, I'll communicate to you. How many times in your life have you faced a moment where you feel that you've received a sense of inspiration to do something? I tell you as a speaker, that there are times when we're preparing our majalis, I'm sure Maulana will agree, there are times when we're preparing our majalis, and you're thinking, how shall I structure it? All of a sudden a thought comes in your head, you've been thinking for 5 days, all of a sudden a thought comes in your head and you're like, of course, why didn't I think about it? And you begin to write. Where this thought came in from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah shows us Luqman. When Luqman starts speaking, when we come to his words, it's as if he is speaking with Allah's words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the way Luqman speaks, it's as if Allah is speaking to you. And when Allah speaks, it's as if Luqman is speaking to you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you that if you obey me, I'll become the eyes by which you see, and the ears by which you hear, and the tongue by which you speak. Just obey me, and I'll let you flow. And that's why another of the people mentioned in the Quran, who Allah inspired, but they were not prophets of God, was the mother of Prophet Musa. Go to Surah 28, verse number 7. And those of you who don't necessarily have a pen and paper with them when you're listening, if you get hold of these DVDs, listen to them again, write notes. Because then what will happen is you'll be able to pass the message to members of your family and community and so on. This is how Ahlul Bayt used to work. Quran says, verse 7, Nabi Musa's mother, Pharaoh, is killing all the newborn males. Why? Because the newborn male, one of them will take over his kingdom. Do we agree? In killing all the newborn males, Nabi Musa's mother feared for him. Because she was pregnant with him, she gave birth to him, and she was scared. A mother, of course, nothing is as emotional for a mother as protection of her child. There's a phrase which says, a child is the heart of the mother walking. A child is the heart of the mother walking. So your heart is as if it's walking out. You're looking at your heart when it walks. She was fearing for her life, for her son's life. Pharaoh had on a number of occasions sent around people to go and kill the newborn males. Thousands upon thousands were killed. Babies. Killed. Musa's mother wondered what she should do. Quran tells us Allah communicated to her. Was she a prophet of God? No. Was she ma'soom? No. She was a pure lady. Allah says in verse 7, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضَعِيهِ. We revealed to the mother of Musa. How? If she's not a prophet of God, then how did you reveal to her? It can't be through Jibreel. Then who was it through? He revealed to her through what is known as ilham, inspiration. Non-prophets of God receive inspiration. Prophets of God receive revelation or wahi. Prophets of God may receive it in a dream, or they may receive it, for example, from Jibreel. Non-prophets of God, and if you want to see this further, I will show you in a tafsir of our brothers in other schools in Islam. Non-prophets of God receive inspiration, ilham. That means when they need an answer to something, or when they have to perform an act, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires them there and then. How did He inspire the mother of Musa? He sent within her a feeling. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ نَرْضَعِيهِ. You should suckle him. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. But if you fear for him, then put him in the basket. Why? Let him roll down the river Nile. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Do not fear, do not grieve. إِنَّا رَادُوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We promise we'll return him to you. Because the mother needed, she needed some sort of certainty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent her the certainty. He said to her, don't worry. But he didn't send it through Jibreel, no. He inspired her. He said to her, don't worry, your heart, let it be soft. I promise you, I will return him to you. Number two, another example in the Quran where Allah communicates to a non-prophet, and you will see my point where I am going. Where Allah communicates to a non-prophet is the disciples of Jesus, which we mentioned in the first majlis. Surah 5, verse 114. In Surah 5, verse 114, The disciples of Jesus were not prophets of God. They were successors to the prophet of God. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you go to verse 111 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Remember in my majlis I had said that one of the qualities of the disciples of Jesus was that Allah could send to them inspiration. And the Quran shows us in verse 111, Quran says what? وَإِذْ أَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِي وَبِرَسُولِي. These people were simply disciples. And in the tafsir of our brothers in Ahlul Sunnah, they say, Tafsir al-Munir. If you go to Tafsir al-Munir, the tafsir of this verse, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants to communicate to a person who is not a prophet, communicates through ilham, through inspiring them. Therefore, that's another example in the Quran of a person who's not a prophet, but received inspiration. Even once first Imam was asked a question by the Jews. He was asked, what was neither a prophet or a jinn, but guided its people and had a surah of the Quran named after it? Listen to the question again. What was neither a prophet nor a jinn, but guided its people and had a surah of the Quran named after it? Who could tell me? It's a good one for the brain. They have the brain competition, brains of the community. It's a good one. Who could tell me? It's not a prophet and it's not a jinn. It guided its people and it has a surah of the Quran named after it. Not Luqman. No. Naml. Ahsant. Ant. The ant in the story of Prophet Sulaiman. Was it a prophet? No. Was it a jinn? No. Does it have a surah in the Quran named after it? Yes, Surah 27. And with the ant, it guided its people. As soon as it saw Sulaiman coming with his soldiers, it said to Sulaiman, what? It said to the ants, it said, go and hide in your houses, because Sulaiman and his soldiers may crush you. And there is a hadith, although quite weak, but it's always an interesting narration. Hadith says that Nabi Sulaiman picked up the ants and he looked at the ants and he said, oh ants, I am a prophet of God. Do you really think that I will allow my soldiers to come and crush you? And the ant said, I wasn't scared you were going to crush them physically. I was scared you were going to crush them emotionally, that when they saw your kingdom, they may complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the ant said to Prophet Sulaiman, who is greater at this moment, me or you? And Prophet Sulaiman said, you tell me. And the ant said, I am greater than you. Nabi Sulaiman said, why? The ant said, because I am standing on the palm of a prophet, whereas you are standing on the ground. Again in the Quran. We mention all of these in order to reply to the people who say, how do your imams, how do you say they get inspired? Only prophets get inspired. Luqman was a prophet. Mother of Musa was a prophet. Asif bin Barqiyah was a prophet. The disciples of Jesus were prophets. Why do you get surprised when my 12 imams can answer you like this? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already shown us numerous examples of the Quran of people who weren't prophets, but He sent them inspiration. Because sometimes Ahlul Bayt, you ask them a question, they answer you within a split second. And when they answer you a question, you're like, how does he know the answer to that question? Where do you get this knowledge? The knowledge comes direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah can inspire the mother of Musa, and Allah can inspire the disciples of Isa, and Allah can inspire Luqman, and Allah can inspire the ant in the story of Sulaiman, then why are you surprised when I say Allah can inspire Ali ibn Abi Talib in his ruku'? Because those who come and tell me, Ali ibn Abi Talib, how does he give away his ring in his ruku'? He should be concentrating. Allah, the people are teaching Ali ibn Abi Talib to concentrate. Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't know concentration in Salah. Ali ibn Abi Talib was the reason Salah was created. Because he was a manifestation of how a person submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you find that when he gave away his ring, people say, how did he know he had to give away his ring? Allah showed you so many examples in the Quran where He communicated to people telling them do this. So you are surprised that Allah communicated to Amir al-Mu'mineen in his ruku' to give away his ring when the poor man was asking? We can prove everything Quranically in the school of Ahlul Bayt. You want us to use Quran? We'll use Quran. It's clearly there. That's why there is that beautiful line of poetry which says, I wonder about those who call Ali God. How great a God we have if Ali is his slave. And so therefore, Amir al-Mu'mineen, while his ruku', he highlighted to us that there are people Allah inspires and He gives them knowledge in order to act without the usage of an angel. Even if someone comes to you and says to you that you say that Jibra'il visited Fatima or Jibra'il visited the other imams. Jibra'il doesn't visit anyone except prophets of God. Did Jibra'il visit Maryam? Did he or no? Surah 19, verse 19. Jibra'il visited Maryam, then who brought her the fruits when she's in her house? Remember when she said, I am scared? Let's go to it actually, so you all hear the reference. Surah 19, verse number 19. He went to her, Jibra'il was there. قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا. He said, I am a messenger of the Lord. Maryam was a prophet of God? No. So why are you surprised when I tell you that Jibra'il visited Fatima when Jibra'il used to visit Maryam? And Maryam is the mistress of the woman of her time, whereas Fatima al-Zahra is the mistress of the woman of all time. Therefore, the second area was that Luqman was not a prophet of God, but that he had reached such a high level where his words became the words of Allah on earth. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue with the third characteristic of Luqman, which is what? Which was that he was a slave. And what position does Islam give slaves? And how do we reply to those who attack Islam and their position of slavery? Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.